We're going to look at two passages tonight. I want you to open, to the book of Genesis, chapter number 45. Genesis, chapter number 45. I've preached out of this several times, and I think not too long ago. I didn't look it up to see. But I'm interested just in one verse found in Genesis 45, in verse number 27. If you'll stand with me just for a moment. If you've got a thought on your heart, we're going to be doing some testimonies in each service between now and next week. And so each service will have some faith promise testimonies. And so if you didn't tonight, if you want to Wednesday night or again on Sunday, then you be thinking about what the Lord would have you to do and what the Lord would have you to say. All right? Look what the Bible says in the book of Genesis, chapter number 45. Look in verse number 27. The Bible says, and they told him all the words of Joseph. And it didn't seem to ring true. The words didn't get it. This is Jacob. Joseph has sent word. Daddy, I'm alive and well. Come down here. Let me take care of you. But his words didn't get it. How do you know? Because the Bible says, which he had said unto them, colon. So there's a break in the action. And when he saw the wagons, which Joseph had sent to carry him, the spirit of Jacob, their father, revived. So in Genesis chapter number 45, we have the example of seeing is believing. Seeing is believing. You've heard that old adage, seeing is believing, seeing is believing. Seeing is believing. Take your Bible and flip forward, please, to the book of 1 Samuel and look there with me, 1 Samuel in chapter number 1. I want to show you in the book of 1 Samuel the same words, but in a different order. The Bible says in 1 Samuel 1, verse number 11, and she vowed a vow and said, O Lord of hosts, she's calling upon the covenant-keeping name of the God of heaven. If thou wilt, remember those words, if thou wilt, indeed look upon the affliction of thine handmaid and remember me and not forget thine handmaid, but will give unto me or unto thine handmaid a man-child. Then she says in the second part of the verse, then I will give. Remember what she said? If thou wilt, then I will. If thou wilt, then I will. So in the book of Genesis, chapter number 45, we see the very clear statement embodied, seeing is believing. But in 1 Samuel, chapter number 1, and somebody said, well, that was a spiritual event. Jacob believed. Yeah, but he had to see first. He had to see. He had to see evidence. But the Bible tells us about a woman who would have been nameless other than this event. She would have just been so like so many others that came and went in the passage of time. But as it stands, her faith is the reason that you have the book of 1 Samuel and the reason you have the book of 2 Samuel named Samuel. Could have been named anything, but the reason they were named Samuel is because this lady is the one who named them because of who Samuel was. She was nobody, but she said, Lord, if thou wilt, then I will. So in Hannah, we have a picture not of seeing is believing, but of believing is seeing. Believing is seeing. Found here in 1 Samuel chapter number 11. Let's bow our heads together for a moment. Father, we pray, O God, that you would once again remind us of the truths of your word, the principles contained therein, and help us, Lord, I pray, to be found faithful. And we plead the blood and pray in Christ's name. Amen and amen. If you make notes, I'm going to give you 5 points tonight. And if you don't normally make notes, if you'd like to, and there's a reason I'm asking you to do that, If you and I know you don't. Some of you don't not prepared. There should be pens in the back of the pews there. But if you want to, I just want to give you some very, just very quickly. I have 5 points tonight. Just 5 points. And they're alliterated. And so really all you'd have to write down is just one word. The different 5 words. I want to talk to you about this thing of believing is seeing. Believing is seeing. 2 Corinthians chapter number 8, verse number 3. The Corinthian church is being spoke to, and it's not about the Corinthians, but it's about the Macedonians. The Macedonians had given to the apostle and to missions, but they were in great affliction. They were in deep poverty, and they were going through a lot of problems. And yet they gave, and this is how the Holy Spirit gives a receipt of what they gave and how they gave. He said, for to their power, in 2 Corinthians 8:3, I bear record, for to their power. So the receipt would read, this is how much they were capable of, and here it is, and this is the receipt. They gave what they could. Wait a minute, let's finish reading. He said, for to their power I bear record, and yea, beyond their power. Amen. Stapled to the receipt, there's an addendum. They gave what they could, and then they started giving what they couldn't. He said, and beyond their power, they were willing of themselves. And God gave through them what God would not give to them. God gave them to give away. And you say, how did he do that? In so many different ways, but he did do it according to the scripture. Can I say it this way? God had changed their lives to the point. This Jewish evangelist set foot on European soil, and ultimately that's how most of us come to know Christ, was through this evangelistic effort of the Apostle Paul and this missionary journey that he endeavored upon. Most of us came, the gospel came across Europe to most of us. And then even for those that were a product of missions on the mission field, probably it was a European missionary or European people of European heritage that give you the gospel. So the Macedonian call and the whole endeavor of going to Philippi and then Thessalonica and then going to Berea and then going on down to Corinth is a big deal. It was a game changer. It was a history changing event. And so they were so moved by the needs of the apostles. And then they were moved not only by the needs of the apostles, they were moved by the Apostle Paul. They were also moved by the needs of Jerusalem. Jerusalem had fallen on hard times, and the church there, they were about to go hungry. And so they got in on giving, and they got in on giving not only to the Apostle Paul, but they were giving to missions in reverse. Instead of the mother church in Jerusalem supporting the missionaries and the mission churches started supporting the needs back home. And the Macedonians got caught up in it in a good way, and they were so burned about it, they gave above and beyond what they were capable. So how does that all boil down, preacher? Well, what Hannah did. Faith promise, number one, point number one, is requesting from God. Just the word requesting. It's not complicated. It's requesting. James said, we have not because we ask not, or we ask amiss because that we might consume it upon our own lusts. One of the reasons that we don't have is because we didn't ask. And apparently these folks ask. Bible says that she vowed a vow, 1 Samuel 1:11, and said, Lord, remember me, and forget not thine handmaiden. Can I say it, first of all, just as I try to alliterate this thing of asking, of requesting. She asked in particular. She asked in particular. She said, Lord, if you'll give me a man-child, I'll give him back. She was in the temple when she was praying this. And so the temple was the object. That was what she had in mind. I'll give him back to you. Lord, you give him to me, and I'll give him back. And the Lord said, deal. I like that. I like that kind of faith. You're willing to trust me for something that particular? Can I say that? Absolutely. She asked for a boy. And can I say this? When we pray, I mean, we pray and we God bless the missionaries all over the world. The reason we talk about missions and talk about missionaries' needs, and by the way, Vanny's watching right now, Mabuhay. For him, it would be Umaga Nangumaga, Paul, this morning. Mahal na mahal, Brother Vanny, we love you. God bless you. Hoping you get better soon. To ask particularly. We're asking God particularly for Brother Vanny this morning. We're asking God particularly for these other needs this morning. Particularly. Asking for those bags in South America, particularly this morning. It means that we ask particularly. But we also asked purposefully. Look what the Bible says in the latter part of verse number 11. Then will I give him unto the Lord all the days of his life, and there shall no razor come upon his head. He was going to be a Nazarite. And so not only did she ask a particular thing, but she asked purposefully. In other words, she said, Lord, if you'll give him, I want him to be consecrated. I want him to be used of God in a great way. I want him to do something particularly. Well, the Bible says in the book of Luke, give and it shall be given unto you, good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, shall men give unto your bosoms. For the same measure that ye meet withal, it shall be measured to you again. In Bolivia, Stephen tells the story. There was a little Ayamata lady, and she was selling potatoes, and had potatoes out on her little thing there on the street and selling potatoes. And so Brother Stephen told her that he would take she'd take 12 and papas, 12 papas. And so she counted them out and she said, uno, dos, tres, cuatro, cinco, seis, siete, ocho, nueve, diez, once, doce. And then she reached back and got one more and she said, trece. She gave him the 13th potato because he bought a dozen. And she just threw in another one. Well, can I say, if a little Ayamata lady who's literally living day to day off of what she's selling, if she can do that, what about the God of heaven? Reckon how he meets things out. Reckon how he does responds to people and responds to faith. I quoted James 4:3 a moment ago. You ask and receive not because you ask amiss. And so when we're talking about requesting from God, it means we ask particularly. It means we ask purposefully. It means that we ask persistently. The Bible says in 1 Samuel chapter number 1, verse number 12, that it came to pass as she continued praying before the Lord. Notice the phrase. As she continued praying before the Lord, she asked persistently. She kept on praying to the point that the words would not come out anymore. And Eli, no more discernment than he has, thought that she is drunk. He thought she is in the altar drunk. I don't know how he got that, but that's what he thought. He didn't have a lot of discernment anyway. He's far from God. She didn't just ask God and forget about it. She asked God persistently. Apparently, this had been something in her heart. She was barren. She had no children. And so mentioned it over and over again. Can I tell you that I've got things on the prayer list been praying for a long time. And they're still there. But can I also tell you that I check things off on a regular basis. And some of them been there a long time. Some of the folks get promoted to glory and God heals them when they leave here and go to glory. Then other situations, God answers and it's obvious that God answered it. And I get to check those off. Can I tell you, you ought to keep a prayer list and you ought to pray over it persistently. And you say, well, I can't pray for everything all the time. Break it up. A good friend of mine, he said to me, he said, I pray for you on Sundays. That's when he prays his preacher list. He got all kind of lists, but his preacher list's on Sunday. On Sunday morning, his morning prayer is he prays for all the preachers he knows. He said, I don't pray for you but once a week, preacher, but I do pray for you on Sundays. Well, that's when I need it the most, amen? Somebody said, well, I can't pray for all 200 of them missionaries. I can't do that every day. Well, you can mention them. Lord, pray for our Faith Promise missionaries. But pick a day and have that to be your missionary day and call their names. You say, I can't pronounce them. The Lord understands. He understands redneck like he does Spanish, all right? It's good. I can't pronounce them myself, and they're on our board. Some of them I can't pronounce. How do you pronounce a name and ain't got no vowels in it? I don't know. I mean, I don't know how you pronounce some of the things. I'm telling you, I need somebody to remind me how you say some of these names, particularly some of the African names. But I stumble through it. Yesterday morning, the Lord heard me stumbling through that list. He knows who it is. Saturday's my missionary day. I pray for our missions. I pray for Faith Promise every day. I pray for our anchor missionaries every day. And I pray for those that are on our board every day. Every day. In a broad sense. But then I pray specifically in a more narrow sense, specific days. And so, meaning, I'm talking about praying persistently. And so, Faith Promise means requesting from God. But Faith Promise, secondly, it means relying upon God. The word relying. Let me see if I can say it this way. Be careful that the devil don't slip you a substitute. You say, does the devil answer your Faith Promise prayers? Well, not without compromise. There's always a caveat in it. I had this fella, he set up this story. He was talking about praying, and he was talking about how that he had prayed, and he was trying to give me an illustration of how God answered his prayer. He was in sales at a radio station, and they played some Christian music, and they had this sales goal, and it was so far behind, and he wasn't going to be able to, and he prayed and prayed and prayed over this sales goal that he could meet this sales goal for the month. And it was just insurmountable. And the last day of the month, a beer company called him and gave him a contract and met his sales goal for the month. And he told me that as a testimony. I didn't have the heart to tell him, Mister, I don't know much, but I had rather come in last in salesman of the month. I had rather be the last one as I had accept that mess. That was compromise, friend. As far as I know, this company had never had run beer commercials, but they took this money from a beer company so they could meet their sales goals, and this guy was trying to tell me that God was in it. I got news for you. God wasn't in 1,000 miles of that. We drove by a church yesterday, and I was telling my wife, she remembers it, the fellow who pastored that church said that Lord put it on his heart to have a singing ministry. Boy, he is going big guns. And apparently his wife couldn't sing very good, but another woman in the church could, who was related to a woman in our church. Guess what happened? Anybody want to take a wild guess in the blue yonder what happened? The pastor left his wife who could not sing and took up with this gal who could sing so that they could have a singing ministry together. And I got news for you. God wasn't in 1,000 miles of it. And that rascal died like a fool dies. Suddenly. Over. God won't put up with that. Can I say, when Faith Promise is relying on God, so let me just see if I can say it this way. Accept no substitutes. Amen. Don't let the devil talk you out of it. Don't let the devil water it down. If God puts something on your heart, Don't let the devil answer your prayer with something inferior, for something that's less, for something that's not at all what you prayed for. But, well, maybe that's how God's going to do it. Can I just say it this way? Her husband, Hannah's husband, he said, "Am I not better to thee than sons? Am I, you know, well, I can satisfy your desire. I can do that." No, that wasn't the answer to her prayer. That her husband would favor her over his other wife. That wasn't God's answer to his prayer. I don't know how many of you understand, know what the SEALs are, the Navy SEALs. We've got parents here of a Navy SEAL. The SEALs are one of the most elite fighting force of the United States Navy. I mean, it is one of the toughest special forces that we have as far as to get in. And they don't let them sleep for a week. They keep them cold and wet and sleep deprived for a week. And they put them in life and death situations as a group to see how they'll respond and see what they'll do. But where they do this, that's always around water. And I mean, and there are candidates who die. They actually die because of a mislick. They didn't, you know, these are all recruits. Now they're part of the Navy, but these are recruits. I know a fellow that went through the training. He wanted to be a Green Beret. And he tried out for the Green Beret 6 times and was turned down. But on the 7th time, he got the Burgundy Tam. I don't know why it's Burgundy and they call them Green Berets, but it's a Burgundy Tam. He got his Tam on the 7th time. He didn't stop. Go back to the SEAL story. On the beach, there's a big old bell. You roll in this training, but all you have to do is go up there and ring that bell, and you get fed. Well, they feed them anyway, but you get warm, and you get to go back to base, and all your suffering's over. You get to sleep. It's all good. And they'll get in your face and say, "Ring the bell. Go ahead. Ring the bell. You ain't going to make it. Ring the bell. I dare you. Ring it." And most do. They're done. That ends their problems. All they got to do is ring that bell, but they put them on the bus and they go back to base. But there's a crowd that says, "No way. Not happening." And they treat things to them, they treat them unbelievably. I mean, they almost torture them. And they want to see what they will do instinctively. When they're sleep deprived, when they're cold, when everything... They want to see what they'll do, and they want to see how they'll react, and they want to see what they're made of, the core of what a man's made of. So don't settle for substitutes. Don't ring the bell. Don't cave in to the devil's tricks. So if you're going to rely on God, number one, don't settle for substitutes. Number two, depend on God, depend on the sovereign for your supply. Philippians 4:19, "But my God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus." There are men sitting here today that were in the Philippines with us. We hand out brand new Bibles and we hand out 100 pesos per Bible. We took it to the bank, took American to the bank, got the pesos. They came back in, come up in my room, and they put it together and they put it in. Was anybody here that put that money in? There's two right there in the mouth of two or three witnesses. Let it be confirmed. All right? Brother Jones, stand and tell me, how many Bibles did we have? We had 49. How many $100 bills, 100 pesos we have? Just enough for the Bibles. And you counted it. You know how many we had. Brother Whittemore, you were with him. You put them in them. You knew how many we had. You know how many you put in, right? We gave those things out, and I said, "A sword drilled, turn your Bible to Philippians 4:19. And they all turned it open, and they began to cry because there was a brand new 100 pesos. Brand new 100 pesos in their new Bible. They were so excited, they couldn't hardly stand it. But there's one boy back in the back corner from where I was sitting at, where I stand. I was up front, and he's one boy back there. And son, they were getting rowdy back there. And they wouldn't calm down, and they just kept going. And it was going and going and going. And I know everybody's glad to get that 100, but I finally said, okay, what's going on back there? And I looked, and that boy held up 2 100 pesos. And I thought, oh, Lord. I said, okay, who didn't get one? Nobody raised their hand. I said, all right, you didn't understand. That's okay. Everybody show me your 100 peso. Everybody in the room raised their peso up and held it up. And the boys back there in the back look like he's flagging air traffic. He's a-jumping up and down, a-waving both of them. And I said, we've shorted the bank. They've stuck together. That's what it is. It's new money, and it's stuck together. We ask, and you know what he sold us? One was on one page, and one was on another right next to it. And he claimed Philippians 3, I forgot what the verse was, but he claimed both of those verses. He, you know how much he needed? He needed 200 pesos. You know what was in his Bible? Double 200 pesos. You say, preacher, there's no way in this world that God put that other 100 in that Bible. Well, you explain it. You explain it. But I'll tell you one thing. There's a boy in the Philippines right now believes it. You may not believe it. There's a boy in the Philippines believes it. Changed his life. And everybody there was aghast. I mean, they were all just stunned. They were thrilled to get their 100, but to see him get 200, and all the Americans are looking at one another like, what is happening here? Larry was there. What has God done? So that's the mouth of 2 or 3. Larry was there. 1, 2, 3. Isn't that amazing? Who else was on that trip? David Youngblood, Gary Rogers, Mike Miller was on that trip, and myself. God did that. God did that, no doubt about it. And so depend on the sovereign to supply, but then also defend against secular solutions. In other words, it's one thing when you settle for substitute, but what happens is secular solutions. In other words, we try to figure it out. I'm the world's worst. Man, I get the pencil and I get the calculator and I'll put it. This don't compute, Miss Horton. What are we gonna do? This ain't adding up, Miss Horton. What are we gonna do? This ain't a working. Matter of fact, when I start that, when I get in the accounting mode, it terrifies me. When I see what it takes per day to operate this ministry, what has to come in through those offering plates and through that mailbox, what it takes per day to operate this ministry, I get nervous. I mean, I get scared. I think about sometimes I wake up in the middle of the night scared to death, and I'll try to figure it up and figure it out and figure out how it's all going to come together. But can I tell you, mash that faith button on that calculator Miss Horton's got. She won't ever show it to me. She's apparently got an adding machine. She's got a faith button. She just pushes the faith button, and it zeroes out the balance because that's how it always works. I can't explain it no other way. Remember what Abraham did with the promise of God? Going to have a son, you old age, Sarah. Going to have a son, you old age, Sarah. Going to have a son, you old age. Sarah said, I can't have a son. Take Hagar, my handmaid. Have a son by her. They did. We're paying for that. Still. We're still paying for that mistake. Because God said he'd make a great nation out of Abraham, and he did. He did. He did. Twice. But the secular way, when they figured it out, that wasn't God's way. And that didn't lead to anything but confusion and trouble and problems. And so can I just simply say it this way? That number one, faith promise is requesting from God. Number two, faith promise is relying upon God. Number three, faith promise is receiving from God. 1 Samuel chapter number 1. They rose up early in the morning, worshiped before the Lord, returned, came into the house of Ramah, and Elkanah his wife, Hannah his wife, and the Lord remembered her. Wherefore it came to pass when the time was come about after Hannah had conceived that she bare a son and called his name Samuel, saying, because I have asked him of the Lord. Can I just simply say that receiving is receiving according to our supplications. She asked for a son, God gave her a son. Receiving the supply of her own needs. We ask God for our needs, God supplies our needs. We ask for laborers, God sends forth laborers. We ask for salvation of souls, and God begins to save souls. What Brother Emmett don't know is I prayed for him fervently. From the day I met him, I started praying for him. And boy, God used that. And God's using that to open doors. And I had some folks he used to go to church with talk to me yesterday. And they don't know what to think. They just can't, it doesn't compute. They just can't get a hold of it. They're stunned by it all. And word was that we didn't like Catholics down here at Anchor. Now word's out that we love Catholics down here at Anchor. And they ain't figured that one out either. I think that one confuses them more than the first one. They're used to not being, you know. So receiving according to our supplications. Receiving according to our sincerity. The Bible says in Hebrews 11:6, but without faith it is impossible to please him, for he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that I diligently seek him. We receive according to our supplication. We receive according to our sincerity. And we receive according to his substance. Hebrews says in Hebrews 1, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Can I simply say, you can touch substance. You can touch it. Hey, you can't touch hope. But you can touch substance. It's the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. And I know you've heard this over and over and over again, but truthfully, it's the biggest thing God's ever done for me. The biggest thing. Well, I take that back. It's not the biggest thing, but it's one of the biggest things, okay? I had this iPad, and I was looking on the internet for use military stuff, and I'm usually looking for trucks and stuff to use for disaster, and so I'm looking for equipment, looking at stuff like that, and I'm looking it up, and when I opened it, it popped open. It was very unusual. It popped open to a ship, a gray ship, and I looked at that ship, and I said, Lord, there's a Coast Guard cutter. I didn't know Coast Guard's white, Navy's gray. I didn't realize the difference. And I looked in that thing, and I looked at how big it was. I looked at the motors. I looked at how many it slept. I looked at all those things, and I looked at it, and I thought, my goodness, that's amazing. I've never seen a ship for sale on here in my life. I've never seen it. And by the way, I've still not ever seen one. I've never seen one before, and I've never seen one since. I carried it with me, but I remember what I said. I said, Lord, we sure could use a ship in the Caribbean, but what do I know about a boat? I can't even paddle a rowboat straight. It goes this way, and then it goes this way, and I can't even get it to go straight. I can't do the double oar thing. I'm not that coordinated, so I'll go across the lake looking like this, zigzagging, you know. I can't even paddle a rowboat, let's go in circles. I said, but Lord, what do I know about a boat? But there are fellas, and is anybody here that was at the table the day that I brought it to the Chinese restaurant? Got one hand, anybody else there? I brought it, and I said, look at this, boys, look here, look at this. Brianna Riley saw it, so it had been that generation. And I said, look at this. And they passed it around, and they looked at it and said, we getting a boat, preacher? And I said, well, I told the Lord we sure could use it, but what do I know about a boat? I don't know about no boat, but we sure could use it. God had the man who had more undersea hours than any man in the United States Navy in nuclear submarines, who commanded the Pearl Harbor submarine training facility and retired as the deputy commander of Pearl Harbor. He saw it too. But he put legs on his prayers. He got on an airplane and went out there. Come back, and there was a group of businessmen. Every year they give to missions. They pool their money and give to missions. And it's kind of like Shark Tank. You go in, make your presentation, and then they figure out what they're going to do, and they said, a couple of months, we'll contact you, and we're going to give to this, give some to this, give some to that. He went in, went upstairs, went in the boardroom, done his presentation, and left. Got in the parking lot, secretary called him and said, Captain Purdue, could you come back up here right quick? He traveled back up there, and they said, we ain't never done this before, and we won't never do it again. God's in that ship. We don't know anything about it, but we're satisfied that you do. It's yours, and you'll need money to fix it, and you'll need money to move it, and you'll need all those things here. Amen. He got a bunch of his old salty mates that he knew. He flew them all to this. And by the way, this boat was, I can't promise you it's the same boat because I didn't make any notes. But it must have been because it was both gray. It must have been. I mean, I just go by faith, believe it was. I believe it was the same boat. They went and got that boat. They done some sea trials there in the Puget Sound with it. And they asked some questions, got some things. They bought that boat. They paid cash for that rascal. They fueled it, and they sailed that thing all the way down by California, all the way down the Baja of Mexico, all the way to Panama, came through the Panama Canal. When I was in Panama the last time, I thought to myself, right there at the mouth of the Panama Canal, I thought, I'd love to have been here in this airplane when that Sea Hope was coming out of there. They sail through those locks, come out of there, and sail that thing to Bayou La Batre, Alabama, where Forrest Gump was. Picked that boat up. We sent crews down there. They scrubbed that thing from stem to stern. They took all the paint off. That thing had paint on it an inch deep where the Navy had painted it and painted it and painted it and painted it and painted it. And they scrubbed all those off where it was bucking up, and they sanded. Our guys would come back in here, they'd be covered. And weekend after weekend after weekend, we went down there and we did it over and over and over and over again. Took it out, put new props on it, new props. I'm talking about went through that ship from one end to the other. And today, by the grace of God, it is in Puerto Rico. It's paid for. Amen. And God has supplied enough money that there's enough support coming in to buy the fuel for the missions. Yes. All we got to do is buy the product to go on it. Amen. God did that, folks. You say, I've heard that story before. Yeah, but it helps me to tell it. It just helps me to tell it. It's just helping me to tell it, okay? You just have to bear with me. It just helps me to tell it, okay? It just helps me. So, faith promise. What is faith promise? Faith promise is requesting from God. Faith promise is relying upon God. Faith promise is receiving from God. Faith promise is returning it to God. She said, I've lent him to the Lord as long as he liveth. He'll be lent to the Lord. And he worshiped the Lord there. She returned him just like she said she would. She gave him back just like she promised she would. And then what, preacher? Well, not necessarily in Hannah's life, but yeah, in Hannah's life. She gave away that first boy, but God gave her a whole family. He did. So how does this faith promise thing work, preacher? Simply like this. It's requesting from God. It's relying upon God. It's receiving from God. It's returning to God. And it's requesting from God. You say, preacher, wait a minute. You don't use that word. I know. It's point one and point five. Because when you give it back to the Lord, then you start asking him for more. So that you can give more. So that you can give back more. so that you can trust Him for more, so that He will give more, so that you can ask Him for more, so that you can trust Him for more, so that you can ask Him for more, so that He can give more, and so that you can trust Him for more. You say, preacher, don't work like that. How do you think? How do you think? Today, we turned the heat off because we couldn't afford the oil bill. That's how bad off we were 40 years ago today. 40 years ago today, we had service, rain, snow, sleet, it didn't matter. We had service because I knew Brother Horton could get there in his Ram Charger, and I knew I'd be there, and I needed Brother Horton's tithes really bad. Because we had bills to pay on Monday. And that's the truth. And so that's why we never cancel services. And it wasn't over anything that we were tough or anything. That wasn't it. We just needed the money so bad. We took an offering in Sunday school, Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday night. And that was just to try to get by. We just barely making it. And that's the truth. And I say this to God's glory and to God's credit. I'm working on real estate. I'm working on insurance. We have the tower site insured. Insurance on that. We have the 10 acres here and the three buildings insured. We have the old church and the mission house insured. And then we have three homes on the Willis property, the staff housing that we have insured. And then the Lord gave us a farm, and we have it insured. And I'm trying to get insurance on a cabin on top of the mountain. And then we have the mountain house that we have insured. And now I'm trying to get property on a house God's given us in Lenore. Amen. And the insurance company don't know if we're in the real estate business are doing ministry. And they said, how many houses are you expecting to get? I said, as many as God wants us to have. Amen. Plain and simple. And the best I can tell, we just got a city lot. But from what I can tell, if my math's correct, God has entrusted us. How many houses does that make? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. How many dwellings? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9 houses. Just houses, not counting these buildings and the minister building. 9 houses. I'm not trying to brag, but if I did my math correct, our total acreage now exceeds 54 acres. We started out on a half acre. We've got more under roof than we had parking lot. And that's the truth. That warehouse is bigger than the old church and the parking lot combined. That's the truth. How did that happen, preacher? Well, it wasn't because of my faith, I'll assure you that. The big hand of God. Little widows are praying. God intervening. Amen. I wanted the tower on Shuford. Brother Jones said, no, I want the whole mountain. And I'm thinking, Lord, just give me the tower. I'll be glad with the tower. God, just be good with the tower. Lord, just be good with the tower. Amen. And Robert kept saying, I want the whole mountain. Guess what? We got the whole mountain. Amen. We got the whole mountain. Sonny, I hardly remember the story. Sonny's texting in. We didn't have fuel for this building. This first winter of this building. And I don't remember the details. I wished I did, but he just reminded me on text. Somehow or another, there ended up more fuel on the truck than he was running fuel. Anybody remember it? Anybody remember any details? Sonny drove a fuel truck. He drove one of those fuel trucks. He ended up with 900 gallons of kerosene, and they had no place to put it. And the bills didn't work out. And we ended up with 900 more than we're supposed to have. And he asked his boss, they brought it over here and put it in our tank. And that's how we heated. I'm just telling you. That's how big God is. And he goes on and on and on and on and on. The God of heaven. Hallelujah. I had chewed my fingernails down to the quick. It was a Monday, and I had to have a cashier's check for $44,000 because I had steel trucks coming in Tuesday morning, and they wanted a cashier's check before they'd unload, and we didn't have it. I wasn't even here. I was miserable. Oh, I was miserable. And I said, God, how in the world? Lord, how are we going to do this? Lord, please. Lord, I done ordered it. They're leaving Virginia with it. And Lord, I've done ordered it. And I can't back out. We're going to lose our deposit. If those trucks turn around, we're going to lose all that money. Deposit. Lord, please. I got a phone call. And they said, you need to get to the church right away. I said, why? What's wrong? They said, you just need to get here quick. I said, well, tell me what's going on. They said, well, start this way, then we'll. Call us back. So I called back. Who was on the radio? I know Christy. Who else is on the radio? Shanna. And they got on a swap shop. And they said, I want you to pray for our preacher. Something like, I don't know. Christy, what'd you say? I said, pray for this burden. We got to have, was it 44,000? Was that the number, Miss Orton? 40,000? It was like that, wasn't it? Shanna, do you remember? We got to have this by 5 o'clock because we got to go get a cashier's check at the bank, and the bank closes at 5 o'clock. We got to have this money by 4. Amen. So we get the cashier's check by 5. I rolled in here in work clothes from wherever I was. And they said, just stand here in the foyer. And a parade of cars started coming in. Yeah. And I felt like Jimmy Stewart on It's a Wonderful Life. And that's the truth. I had a man bring $7,000 for a new roof and furnace for his house. All in cash. He wouldn't tell me his name, didn't want a receipt, and he threw it on me like it was a snake. He threw it at me. Here! And run out the door. Joe was the manager of the bank. Word got out. The tellers heard it on their lunch breaks. They called Franklin and said, we got an emergency. Preacher Barton needs $40,000 by 5 o'clock. And they said, well, he'll have to come in and have to do the credit application, have to do this, have to do that, have to do this. And Joe said, look. You don't understand. I ain't got time for all that. We got to have the money. It's going to have to be a personal loan or at least a no collateral loan to the church. You got to have it and got to have it now. And they said, well, this is not. And he said, we'll talk to this. Well, you got to talk to the vice president. Get the vice president. He went up the ladder. Some of the executives got together and approved a loan for $50,000, a line of credit. And I ain't signed nothing. A $50,000 loan. I walked into the bank at 4 o'clock, tears running down my face. I just walked in and walked in the foyer, and the girls came out behind the desk, and they said, good news, about the loan. And the manager came out of his office, and he said, preacher, I got good news, and tears running down my face. And I got this bag in my hand. And I looked at him, and I looked at that bag, and I looked back at him, and he goes, what? I looked back at that bag. He said, what? I just handed it to him. He opened that bag. He said, oh, my word. You, come to my office real quick. They dumped that bag out on that desk, and they began to count money. You know how much it was? To the dime. It come out exactly right. I didn't walk out of there with a line of credit. I walked out with a cashier's check that we had paid cash for. God did that. God did that. If I had a button, I'd push it. God did that. Hallelujah. God did that. Faith promise given is requesting from God. Faith promise given is relying upon God. Faith promise given is receiving from God. Faith promise given is returning to God. And faith promise given is requesting from God. And faith promise given is relying from God. And faith promise given is receiving from God. And faith promise given is returning to God. And faith promise given is requesting from God. And faith promise giving is relying from God. How much time you got? How many stories you want to hear? I had somebody say, "Preacher, do you realize what y'all could have if you'd have just what you've given to missions in 40 years? Do you realize how what y'all could be meeting in the Taj Mahal?" And I said, "Well, we're not really Taj Mahal people." I had a man offer to give us a Prevo. God would not let me have that Prevo. I wanted that Prevo. God would not let me have that Prevo. You don't need a Prevo. That's bragging rights. No, you don't need a Prevo. So instead, we got a Thomas bus. I forgot what the other one is. We got two little buses, and we didn't take all the money that he was willing to give us. Because the Lord just put up, we're not Prevo people. And in response to that, God has given and given and given and given. How many pastors do you know of that a man calls up that you know but at a distance and says, "Preacher, could you use a farm in the ministry?" And I said, "Yeah." He said, "Well, I've got a 22-acre farm I'd like to donate to the church on Highway 280. And I'm thinking, "You're kidding, right?" And he said, "I'll meet you down there tomorrow." We did the paperwork. I met him down there, and he handed me the keys. 22 acres. It's a fact. God did that. And he continues to do over and over and over and over. I got one more and I'm going to quit. Maybe. I had that money, $21,000. We were in the hole in the cabin bad. Miss Horton said, "Boy, you're in the red, you're in the red. They've spent so much money. On that foundation, you're in the red. Preacher, you're in the red, you're in the red." That's all I heard, red, red, red. I got a $21,000 check in from a man, and I said, "Oh, happy day, there's that cabin money." But I didn't have the quick full peace about it. And I left and was gone and come back, had my debriefing with Levi, and he said, "Oh," and he said, "da da 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 da." He said, "And by the way, Captain said they're starving, Pastor Cherubim, they're starving in southern Haiti, and Captain's trying to get an emergency mission to go and take them some groceries. And he said they need $20,000 minimum for the load." And the Lord said, "That's it." I said, "But Lord, that's my cabin money." And the Lord said, "That's it." I said, "But Lord." So I called the donor with about a half-hearted hope that he'd say, "No, I gave that to y'all." And that would clear me from my obligation, right? And I called him and I said, "Now, brother, I was going to use this for the cabin, and boy, we really need it. But there's a need for some groceries for the ship, and I just wanted to see what you had to say about it." He said, "Well, let me tell you a story." He said, "I got beat out of $21,000. This company that never orders more than a couple of $1,000 a month from us suddenly give us a $21,000 order and ordered a whole truckload of stuff from us. on 90-day note. They ordered it on Friday, that we shipped it on Friday. On Monday, they bankrupted, and they're not going to have to pay for it. And they knew they were bankrupt, and so they stocked their warehouse with goods from everybody and burn them. And he said, I've been so bitter over it, I couldn't even pray. And he said, I got to praying over it, Lord, what am I going to do for this bitterness? And the Lord said, give away another 21,000. And he said, Lord, I've lost 21. He said, yeah, and give away 21, and you'll feel better about it. And he said, preacher, the reason you got that 21 is because I got beat out of 21. And he said, I can't think of a better use than to feed little Haitian children. And I thought, there goes my cabin money. Doggone it, there goes my cabin money. So I called Captain. I said, Captain, load the boat. We're done. Load the boat. He said, you're kidding. I said, no, we're going to underwrite the whole thing. Load it. Amen. He said, well, I got rice, and I need some potatoes, and I need some beans. And I said, load it. I said, yeah, and this is the donor, and he'd like to get in on it. And I said, call him. Talk to him. Tell him what you're doing. I got a text the next day and said, I just sent Captain $10,000 more to finish loading the boat out, and I've sent you 11 for the cabin. So there's that 21,000 again. 21 and 21 and 21. Said I've done lost 20. Now I've lost $63,000. And he said, it's starting to feel pretty good. He said, I'm getting where I can rejoice. I said, but Scott, let me share some math with you. If this is how much rice is in Haiti. This is how much we're buying it for. Guess what the total comes up to? I said, the street value of the rice we're carrying equals what you've lost and what you've given. You're getting every dime back in heaven. You're getting credit for every dime of it. And I was, end of story, end of illustration, we're good to go home, right? Nope. Had a guy call me. And he said, can I meet with you? I said, gladly. He walked into the foyer driving a minivan. And he said, the Lord told me to give you this. We sold our business. The Lord told me to give you this. And I looked at a cashier's check for $171,000. And he said, use it to finish your projects or wherever you need it. And the Lord said, see there. Told you to give that money. Amen. I'm 40 years into this thing. And I'm still having to be taken to the woodshed on a regular basis. So if you have a wrestle between now and Sunday, it's normal. Amen. Anytime you try to do what God tells you, you're always going to have opposition. But can I tell you, going for broke, it's hard on your ulcers, but it sure is good on your soul. Father, thank you for the good day. Bless your people. Help us, I pray, and plead the blood in Christ's holy name. Amen and amen.